thanks for tuning in once again to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry dedicated to proclaiming essential Christian doctrine. We have a phone line open for you, so dial 888-ASK-HANK and join us on the show. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, from the headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As most of you know by now, we are dedicating this year, our 50th year of ministry, to the problem of biblical illiteracy. And I have said so often, this is not a problem, it is the problem. And so we are urging people to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into them. As a result of that, I've developed a legacy Bible reading place marker that you can place in your Bible. It teaches you how to read the Bible not in bits, but rather in books by genre and by author. And we are teaching people to read a proverb a day, which is to say, a chapter of Proverbs every single day, and then to meditate on three psalms per week. In that way, every single week, you read seven chapters of the book of Proverbs, and you meditate on three psalms, the psalmistry of ancient Israel. It is a way to sing to the Lord, to praise Him, to magnify His holy name. And I'm reminded, particularly today, of how important it is not only to get into the Word of God, but to get the Word of God into you. Many years ago, I spent a good bit of time memorizing the book of Proverbs. In fact, I developed a course called Your Memory in the Proverbs, Keys for Successful Daily Living, which would teach people how to memorize the book of Proverbs in and out of order by chapter and verse. And I was reminded of that process many years ago and got back into it this year in earnest. And Proverbs chapter 3, and that's the proverb we're on today, reminds us of how important it is to write the Word of God upon the tablet of our consciousness. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. And then the familiar words, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns may be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father the son in whom He delights. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. And then these words that have been emblazoned upon my mind, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the deeps were broken up and the skies drip with dew. How beautiful is the Word of God, and how often have we forgotten the beauty of the Word of God. We are more enamored by the color of our Bibles than the content of our Bibles. But that has to change. When Josiah found the book of the law, revival was a result. And I've often said that people look for revival in the culture, but it's looking for revival in all the wrong places. What has to happen is reformation in the church, and then you will find revival in the culture, but not a revival that lacks substance, that it's mere external trappings that end up showing up, but rather a revival that changes the hearts of a people so they no longer live by the dictates of their own will, but they follow Jesus Christ, and he gives their lives meaning, purpose, and fulfillment. It may yet be that America can be a great mission sending agent to the world, but it will only be if we take seriously the problem of biblical illiteracy and correct it. And I hope this year, all this year, you'll stand with me, not in pointing the finger somewhere else, but saying, I myself am going to become immersed in the immortal, everlasting Word of God. There are only two things that last for all eternity: the souls of people and the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Involvement produces commitment. Do it as a discipline, and it will turn to be one of the greatest joys, moments, times, every day of fulfillment from now until the time that you meet your Savior face to face. And of course, if you want the tools that help you in the process of reading the Bible for all it's worth, just check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Let's go right to the phone lines now. Talk to Tim. He's listening on XM170. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well. Nice talking to you.
Hey, my question was, I'm trying to figure out, I listen to James McDonald quite regularly, and I love him because he seems like he's all about the truth, kind of like why I love your broadcast so much, everything's truth first.
You should try playing golf with him.
I hear that's one of his loves.
It is one of his loves. He's pretty good at it. Although he has a very wacky way of putting, but it's effective.
That's funny. But I was listening to one of his, sermons today, and it was breaking that sin-confess cycle. Mm-hmm. And even though I love him, I have to say that I felt very depressed after that, because when he put the list up on the screen, there was just so many things that I need work on. And I want to try to figure out how I can keep that communication line between me and God open, because obviously if you're sinning and confessing, it's obviously going to go up and down. So how do you get to full repentance, I guess, would be my question, or what do you think, how do you think that you might help me to find, biblically, that type of answer?
Well, I don't think we ever do. We never fully attain. As a result of that, we are constantly slipping on board, but never slipping overboard. The problem for believers is that while we are positionally accounted righteous before God, we are as yet practically sinners, and therefore we continually have to confess our sins. As the Apostle John put it, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just, and he will forgive us our sins, and he will purify us from all unrighteousness. But if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. We are continuously sinning, and therefore we have to continuously repent of our sins. Now, as a believer, we're not in a state of willful, ongoing sin. If we were, we'd never ask for repentance. So while we sin, we also pray, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Or in the words of James, we pray, confess your sins. And that is a present active subjunctive, which is a grammatical construction which denotes continuing action. Keep on confessing. So I don't think you ever break the cycle because you never attain. In fact, the Apostle Paul, who is our great exemplar, said, "Oh, what a wretched man that I am."
Right, I understand. And repentance is a change of mind, correct, also.
It's a change of heart and a change of mind.
So I guess it's feasible then that I can pray, I mean, the areas that I'm struggling with, if I have to pretty much pray to God, can you please take this from me? I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, and it's more than that, Tim. I think what has to happen is a devotion to the very disciplines that Christ modeled during his earthly sojourn. So it's not a matter of just saying, I want to get over this, but you got to take some steps to get over this. And that means exercising the spiritual disciplines. And one of the things that might help you is I wrote a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil.
Okay.
And it teaches you how to put on the full armor of God. In the process, it teaches you the spiritual disciplines.
Great. Thank you so much.
Hey, hang on, and I'll get the book out to you.
Thanks
hey,
so much.
Bless you, my friend. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Francine, listening on WEZE, Boston, Massachusetts. Hi, Francine.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a question about Matthew 15, 21 through 28. I don't understand that whole concept as far as, you know, that. I don't understand it. Can you explain that, please?
Now, are you talking about the woman who was a Canaanite who had a great deal of faith, and as a result, Christ granted her request?
Yes, like at first he didn't answer her, and she kept pleading with him, and then he answered her. So I don't understand that, you know. And then he talked about the dogs and, you know, things like that. I'm lost in that whole
thing.
Yeah,
well, let's talk about it for a moment. First of all, Jesus was near the region of Tyre and Sidon, I believe, and then that Canaanite mm-hmm. woman came from that area, and she began crying out to him, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." So she had a very real need, and she came to Messiah with that need. And Jesus didn't answer her at first. So then his disciples started urging him to answer her. And he said, "Well, look, I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel." And the woman came down and knelt before him and said, "It's not right to take." She says, "Help me." And he says, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." And she says, "Yeah, but even the dogs eat crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." Now, there's something going on here that's absolutely stunning, because the words here are less for the woman than for the extended audience, including Christ's disciples, because he came as the promised Messiah of Israel. However, as Paul put it, Israel is the agent through which all the world is going to be blessed. So Jesus came not only for the Jew, but also for the Gentile. And so here he is in an area of prejudice, giving an object lesson to his disciples that Gentiles like this Canaanite woman could be saved and sanctified through faith in him. And there's also, of course, a clear test of faith here. She is a woman of great faith. So Jesus, borrowing from the mindset of the day, and the mindset of the day was Gentiles were considered dogs, just like Samaritans, who were the half-breeds who had intermarried with the Assyrians, were considered dogs. And Jesus is exposing this mindset for exactly what it is. Dogs have more faith than do their supposed masters, which is to say, he came to his own, but his own received him not. So Jesus is using this opportunity to explode the prejudice that would believe that I, because of my DNA and my genealogy, somehow or other have a leg up on a Gentile or on a Canaanite, or on a Samaritan, or for that matter, on anybody else, because at the foot of the cross, there is no distinction. We are one in Christ. That's what's going on. It's a clear object lesson given not only for the woman, but perhaps even more poignantly for the disciples and for those in the crowd who were rife with prejudice. And of course, it is an ongoing lesson for us as well today. Coming to station break, we'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast on the other side of the break. Please don't touch that dial. Remember, your question on air Monday through Friday at this time when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be right back with more of your questions.
Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010, the 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101. That's 877-768-2784, extension 101. Or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Hank will return with more of the Bible Answer Man right after this.
We're done, Dad. I am not going to keep doing this.
I want you to hold off on the divorce for 40 days. I'm going to send you something in the mail. Take one day at a time, then see what happens.
Every day has me adding a new concept to the way I treat her.
My advice is go all out.
In the last few days, he has fixed me coffee, bought me these pitiful little flowers, and just now called just to see if I'm doing okay.
Up to this point, my heart's not been in it.
This whole love dare thing, it's not working. You can't love her because you can't give her what you don't have.
You gotta beg God to teach you how to be a good husband. And don't just follow your heart, you gotta lead your heart.
Get the inspirational Fireproof on DVD and the Love Dare marriage devotional used in the movie from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
Has your spiritual life been strengthened through the radio ministry of the Bible Answer Man broadcast? If so, consider making a one-time gift to the work and ministry of CRI, or commit to becoming a regular monthly supporter. This month, for your gift to the Christian Research Institute, we'd like to send you a copy of Grace Fabian's new book, Outrageous Grace. This gripping story opens with the brutal murder of a missionary translator in Papua New Guinea, whose wife, Grace, was the first witness on the scene. She discovers that the murderer was a trusted native. You'll see how Grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was ultimately able to forgive the man who killed her husband. This book quickly becomes a favorite, so make your donation today, a one-time gift or a monthly pledge of support. Call our resource consultants at 888-7000-274 or donate online at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now we return to the broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Talking about Grace Fabian, she's going to be on the broadcast tomorrow. Her book, Outrageous Grace, I'm going to be talking about it. It is part of our drive or thrust to get you into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. This particular angle, if you will, is an angle that is saying to you, let's not take the Bible for granted. A lot of people around the world who don't have the Bible, Grace Fabian and her husband were translating the Bible into the Nabok language in Papua New Guinea. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. She was preparing coffee and some crackers with peanut butter for her husband. And suddenly, she had a life transformational experience. She swiveled in her chair and she walked through the tiny room adjoining the office between hers and her husband. And she looked into his office. If no one was around, she thought, well, I'll wait with the coffee until they come back. Instead of two men engaged in energetic discussion of Nabok words and phrases, she saw her husband, Edmund. He was alone at his computer. He was slumped back in his chair. An axe hung from the back of his head. An axe. Grace stared at that axe and thought she was going mad. She thought she was hallucinating. Cold fear crept through her entire body. No, no, please, this can't be happening, she sobbed. 1 minute, her mind spun out of control. The next, she was stupefied, refusing to believe the dreadful reality before her. She rubbed her eyes. She patted Edmund's shoulders and sensed the truth instantly. This was no dream. Her teeth chattered. Her stomach lurched. Someone had murdered her husband. While he was in the midst of translating 1 Corinthians 13, the great chapter of love. And she was going to have to live out the reality of that chapter in the subsequent days and weeks and months and years as the Bible was translated in the Nabok language. A stunning, gripping tale. You will not be able to put the book down, but this is not about sensationalism. This is about outrageous grace, the grace of God that does not take away the difficulties of our lives. No, God meets us in the midst of those difficulties, and He is indeed outrageous in His grace and goodness. If you don't have the book, order it today for your gift to the ministry. Love to send it out to you. It is one of those books that is life transformational, and I think you'll never look at the Bible the same again. You can order on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you call me at 888-7000-CRI, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Back to the phone lines, Harvey in Peoria, Illinois. Hi, Harvey.
Hello, Hank. How are you? And it's great to talk to you.
Thank you. Likewise.
Hey, I just have a quick question. I guess I'll try to say condense this as much as possible. But I'm kind of disturbed at a lot of the information I've seen regarding theistic evolution. I've seen some of the major hitters or Christians that endorse this, like BioLogos and some of the others, some of the scientists that are Christians, such as Francis Collins, Alistair McGrath, different ones that all hold to the fact that evolution exists, or you know, macroevolution, where man had a common ancestor between apes and all of these type of things. And it really, you know, sends off a lot of bells and disturbs you from a scriptural standpoint, because I just can't see how we could have a common ancestor and, be created by God at the same time. There's a whole lot of conflict. But I haven't found a lot of good resources that really kind of debunk theistic evolution. So I was wondering, could you direct me to some resources and maybe talk a little bit about
it? Yeah, let's talk about it for just a few moments. I, first of all, agree with you 100%. Not only is theistic evolution a contradiction in terms, I've often likened it to talking about flaming snowflakes, but it is the worst of all possibilities from my perspective, in that natural selection, as Jacques Monod, who was a Nobel Prize-winning evolutionist himself, said, is the blindest, it's the cruelest way of evolving a new species. The struggle for life, the elimination of the weakest, is a horrible process against which our whole modern ethic revolts. And he went on to say that he was surprised that a Christian would defend the idea that this is the process that God more or less set up in order to have evolution. And he's absolutely right, because the biblical account of creation specifically states that God created living creatures according to their own kinds. And the important thing to recognize about this is God has confirmed that not only in his word, but also in the book of nature. If you look at the fossil record, the fossil record simply says no to macroevolution. So this is confirmed by science. DNA for a fetus is not the DNA for a frog. The DNA for a frog is not the DNA for a fish. Each is uniquely programmed for reproduction after its own kind. So while the Bible allows for microevolution, as you've correctly pointed out, it doesn't allow for macroevolution. So there's no warrant for believing that amoebas can evolve into apes or apes can evolve into astronauts. And I think there's another point that should be made, and that is evolutionary biology simply can't account for metaphysical realities like ego and ethos. And without data that demonstrates that physical processes can produce metaphysical realities, there's just no warrant for dogmatically declaring that humans evolved from hominids. And maybe something that we should say to underscore all of this is an omnipotent, omniscient God doesn't have to painfully plod through millions of mistakes and misfits and mutations in order to have fellowship with humans. The biblical account is clear. He created humans instantaneously. This wasn't a long evolutionary process. So when evolutionism is fighting for its life, it is just absolutely ironic that there are Christians that are trying to prop it up with theories like theistic evolution, thinking people should be doing something else. They should be on the vanguard of announcing the demise of theistic evolution. Evolution is fighting for its very life. Why give it resuscitation?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I've written about this in a book called The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution. I've got a small piece in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition on theistic evolution as well. So a number of different resources that I've personally penned, but if you go on the website, we've got a lot of other resources that we can recommend to you.
Thank you so much, Doctor.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call, Harvey. Bless you, my friend. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Toby in California, listening on KCIV. Hi, Toby.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my
call. A pleasure.
I was wondering if there was a resource available on book reviews
We do that in our Christian Research Journal. We do book reviews.
Oh, okay. Yep. Have you reviewed Francis Chan?
We have not. In fact, I don't know a lot about Francis Chan, but I have a good sense that after we do some research, we'll probably think that this is a pretty good author. The reason I say that is one of my heroes of the faith, Johnny Erickson Tada, has done a rather sterling endorsement of his book, Crazy Love, and Kirk Cameron, who I also respect, has done so as well. So I think if I look into this, I'll probably be pleased with what I find. But okay, I haven't done any research myself, so I can only go based on the fact that a couple of my friends who I greatly admire have given a stunning endorsement to Crazy Love.
Okay. How about Darren Hufford, The Misunderstood God?
We'd probably have to turn that over to the research department as well, because I haven't looked into that one either.
Okay. And then the journal you said has reviews that come out. Okay.
Yeah, it's one of the sections in the Christian Research Journal. We do book reviews, and we're always dealing with books that are very significant in our culture.
Okay, great.
Okay?
Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Christian Research Journal, probing today's religious movements, promoting doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and providing reasons for Christian faith and ethics. It's an award-winning magazine. It will teach you discernment skills. Right now, our current edition of the Christian Research Journal deals with our reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. There have been many people within the evangelical community who have taken statements made by the leader of the local churches, and as a result of that, has said this guy is teaching heresy. Turns out, though, on further examination, that if you read his very sophisticated, sustained arguments in context, he's teaching anything but heresy. So it's a great example of the fact that if you take eight words out of a particular sentence or paragraph or page, you can make someone say something diametrically opposite of what he's saying. And this is one of the things we don't do at the Christian Research Institute. If we quote someone, we're going to quote them in context, which means we will have done the primary research to be able to give you an accurate opinion and properly address what someone is saying. One of the great joys I've had at the Christian Research Institute over the years is doing niche shows. I do a show on Wicca, or I do a show on Islam, or I do a show on Roman Catholicism, or I do a show on Jehovah's Witnesses, or I do a show on Mormonism. And inevitably, people that are involved in those movements will call me and say, you know what? I disagree with you, but at least you have properly characterized what we believe and say. And so they appreciate that. So even though they may take a cultic position from a theological perspective, we admire the fact that we're not taking them out of context. And there's a certain amount of discernment skill that goes into that process, as well as righteousness, justice, and equity. Again, the Christian Research Journal, particularly this edition, will help you with those critical discernment skills. It's available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Or you can just call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, and I'll be right back with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
The Christian Research Journal is the premier magazine covering relevant and current issues on Christianity, faith, ethics, religious movements, philosophy, and so much more. Recently on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, joined Hank in the studio to discuss the latest issue, which includes a special five-part article re-evaluating our views on the local church. This issue is available in print or digital format, or you can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal at equip.org. You can also call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
For centuries, two questions have challenged the Christian faith.
In a world with thousands of religions and gods, why is Jesus the only way to salvation? How could a loving God, the God of the Bible, create a world filled with evil and suffering?
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Faith examines two of the biggest objections to Christianity, emotional barriers to faith that have challenged believers and skeptics alike. The Case for Faith DVD also includes more than an hour of specially produced bonus features that will help you face the toughest questions about God and the Christian life.
Order The Case for Faith, The Case for Christ, and The Case for a Creator DVDs in the Lee Strobel 3-disc collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
A global catastrophe is just hours away, and only one man can stop it. In his hands, he holds the fuse of Armageddon. Fuse of Armageddon, the riveting novel by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. Hostage negotiator Mulvaney Quinn must come face-to-face with his past in order to stop the worst terrorist threat of all time, a plot to bring about the ultimate uprising by destroying one of the most sacred relics in history. Only Quinn can stop an unholy trinity of evil from achieving this goal. But will he be in time? Or is it already too late? The entire world hangs in the balance, and failure means Armageddon. Fuse of Armageddon, the explosive novel by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it on our website at equip.org.
Now available for a special discounted price. When was the last time you visited us on our website? It's easy to find at equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you'll find links that will instantly connect you with the latest that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. Seeking answers to your most pressing questions? Click on the Research tab, type in your keyword, and you'll find a vast array of information on your topic. Looking for books and materials you hear about on the broadcast? Check out our convenient e-store. Connect with CRI on Facebook and Twitter, or read Hank's blog. You can also listen to current and past Bible Answer Man broadcasts. All this and more when you go to equip.org. Once again, the address is equip.org. And now, let's return to the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. This is totally unscripted, but I feel led to do something right now. Some of you will recall that last year, we had an extraordinarily difficult time, possibly because of the economy, possibly for other reasons. But in April and May and June, we had months that were far below typical income. And as a result of that, we built a huge deficit. In fact, typically in June, it's one of our peak months, we catch up, but we weren't able to catch up. And so we had this anchor we were dragging along. And by God's grace, we have been able to eliminate a huge mountain of debt. God is good and God is gracious and God has his hand on this ministry. And so we are so enthused today as much as any other day that God has lifted this burden from us, but we don't want to get in this situation again. And as a result of that, I have to go to God's people, people like you, and say, the only reason I can stay on the air is because of your faithfulness. And some people can give small amounts, and some people can give large amounts. We were able to eliminate a $2.5 million anchor. It's vanished. It's gone. We still have some challenges ahead of us, and we want to continue on the radio stations on which you are listening to me right now, but we can't ever get into that situation again. Reason is not anything other then God's people want this broadcast. And I'll tell you how I know that. When I come into the studio, the lines are lit. When I leave the studio, the lines are lit. And most days you hear me say, I'm going to stay in studio for an extra hour. Once I go off the air, continue taking your calls. You know why? Because the phone lines continue to be lit up. Last night, I stayed in studio for 3 solid hours, not only the live hour, but after that, 2 solid hours answering people's questions. The demand is extraordinary. Lives are being touched. Relationships are being revolutionized. The gospel of Jesus Christ is going out. The faith is being defended. Deviations of the cults are being exposed. People are learning discernment skills. They're learning how to read the Bible for all it's worth. But I say it all the time, the gospel's free, someone has to put in the plumbing. So I'm asking you to stand with this ministry, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, faithfully. I'm not asking you to give to get, although the Bible says, as I quoted earlier on at the beginning of the broadcast, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. In other words, you can't outgive the Lord. So if you see this as a ministry standing for truth in a time that truth needs to be stood for, because truth is so obscure in these times and falsehood so established that unless you love truth, you can't know it, as Blaise Pascal put it. If you love the ring of truth and you recognize that we do what we do because truth matters, even going to the extent of putting out a journal that says we were wrong, after a 6-year reassessment of the local churches. If you love the ring of truth, stand with me prayerfully and financially. It'll make a difference for time and for eternity. This is not about temporary verities. This is about an eternal perspective, because ultimately it is about what happens to people for all eternity. So again, if you can, as the Lord leads you, stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. You can do so on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Back to the phone lines, Greg, listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Greg.
Hi, blessings of glory in Christ be yours.
Thank you.
I've been listening to your broadcast, and quite frankly, I'm not as learned as you are. But I have a question, and it regards Galatians 6, verse 2, where it says, bear one another's burdens, thus fulfilling the law of Christ, which, of course, is to love God with all of our being and to love our neighbor as ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But why is it that it seems today the church is only interested in gathering up the first fruits, but not sharing them as it was originally intended?
Well,
for example, Deuteronomy 14, verse 29, made allotment for the alien, the orphan, and the widow because they had no inheritance in the land, and said, bring the stores into your town so that the Lord will bless you for making that available. I'm a man who has worked my whole life. I've served the Lord as best I can through youth ministries and whatnot, and I've written several churches that I worked at and what they call mega ministries, and been either ignored outright denied for 501(c) rules, or sent a fleecing letter saying, if you give to my ministry, not the Lord's, my ministry, then you'll be blessed.
Okay, so what church are you part of?
I'm part of the United Methodist community of churches here.
Okay, and how are you involved in that church?
Well, up until September, October, I was the youth co-leader of Teens for One, or Teens for Christ.
Okay.
And we grew the group, and it's a small church. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's only 30 members in this church that are active tithers or active givers. And the group that I started with grew from 4 or 5 teens to over 30 at its peak.
So when you brought this to your pastor, what did he say?
We don't have the funds. And referred me to the general congregation of churches in the area that I live in, and they said, we don't normally help individuals with such great need. I've been unable to work for 3 years
because of
a severe heart condition.
Yeah, and this underscores something, Greg, that I think needs to be talked about, because one of the problems that has occurred within evangelical Christianity is that we have abdicated our responsibilities, and now the world has taken over those responsibilities. So what once was taken care of by the church is now being taken care of by the state.
And that doesn't show the love of God, because we're pointing them back to the world instead of...
But even having said that, I think that it would be unfair to characterize ministries or churches as a whole, because there are many megachurch ministries, and I know the ministers myself, I know the ministries myself, who are involved in helping people on a very sustainable level, and usually on a grassroots level, which is to say that typically a ministry that's going to help someone in need is a ministry that actually has its boots on the ground, which is to say that as I went out from our church for years and years sharing the gospel and taking people with me into the highways and byways, we would meet people that had needs. And the first thing we would do is we'd meet the needs of those people. In other words, if I go into somebody's house and I want to share the gospel with them and I find out that there's no groceries in the kitchen and the kids don't have diapers, I think the first responsibility is to meet that need. And then by meeting that need, you earn the opportunity to share the grace and goodness that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human life. I think also that you need to recognize that there are mega ministries right now who are not only helping the poor within the United States of America, but are actively today helping the poor in other nations as well. And by giving the cup of cold water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the piece of bread, they are earning the right to share the gospel, which changes the heart. And when the heart changes, behavior changes. And then instead of being a selfish consumer, those people become selfless producers that can help other people in need. And I would say on a further level, and I want you to hang on, Greg, so that we can talk to you off air as well, but I think that there are certainly many opportunities that each one of us has every single day as we see needs of people. Maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a friend, someone within the sphere of our influence. These are opportunities not to necessarily work through mega organizations, but to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in a real life situation. But again, I think that people who are involved in the life of the church, and I'll use my dad and my mom as an example. My mom and dad were involved in ministry from the time my dad was converted. Well, I shouldn't say from the time he was converted, but from the time he had a near-death experience. He almost died, and he went into ministry. He served the Lord's people. He ministered to their needs. He cared for them on a spiritual level, on a physical level. And we really saw the church be the church, which is to say, not only the church in the sense of worship through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word, but the church through oneness. Oneness meaning that we use our time, our talent, and our treasure so that we can reach out to the needs of people, not only in our community, but within the body of Christ. And that's why Paul in Romans chapter 12 says, if a man's gift is giving, let him give generously. If it is showing leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is to encourage, let him encourage. So we need to show love within the community of faith, but there are a lot of people who have not been actively involved. But if someone has been actively involved in the church, giving to the needs of people, actively involved in ministry, it seems odd that the church now would not reach out to that person on some level and help that person, a person in need. So again, it's very hard for me to ferret that out as a person talking to someone on the other side of the line, but I highly recommend that if you're in a healthy, well-balanced church, that you talk to your pastor about those needs, you let those needs be known. God's people are generous people. I've found that out over and over again. God touches our heart to meet the needs of people for time and for eternity. And I'm just talking about that because what we do as a ministry is meet not only physical needs, but we're meeting spiritual needs. At the end of the day, we are able to touch people at the core of their being. Because the ultimate hunger and thirst is not physical, it is spiritual. Again, this is a ministry that stands for truth, no matter what the cost. We'll be right back. I'm going to stay right here, in fact, for an extra hour. Once I go off the air, I'll continue taking your calls. So many people hanging on. We'll be with you in just a moment. If you want to call in a question right now, I'll be here for the next hour. 888-ASK-HANK is the number to dial. So long for now.
Every day at the Christian Research Institute, we're encouraged to hear from listeners who share how their lives have been radically changed through the broadcast ministry of CRI and the Bible Answer Man program. And we're excited to help stimulate change agents around the globe. But ministry, especially broadcast radio, requires enormous resources. If the Bible Answer Man program has ministered to you, would you consider standing with us both prayerfully and financially? A special one-time gift would help us fulfill our mission to provide Christians carefully researched information and well-reasoned answers to their most pressing questions. To donate, call us at 888-7000-274, where our resource consultants are waiting for your call. Or visit us on our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Genesis to Revelation. Every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York, with sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.